Coming up on Addysg Cymru, Education Wales, if you're a parent or carer and have questions about your child's education at this difficult time, this podcast is for you.
We found Hub to be absolutely wonderful as a resource in having that access to sort of, you know, approved central Welsh Government resources.
Place your trust in the school that they're aware of pupils' engagement, and that if there are significant problems, then hopefully they would have contacted the parents.
Hello, I'm Mike Bubbins. Well, it's a strange time. We're all worried about COVID, stressed at home, trying to keep calm, carry on looking after the children. In my case, age 7 and 10, and absolutely switched on 24 hours a day. And then there's this thing called education. So with schools only open to vulnerable children and key workers' children, most of us are trying to get our heads around helping ours learn at home. So in this episode, we'll be dealing with concerns you raised in a recent survey of parents. And to give us some answers, we have two people who spend their lives in the hot seat of education. Catherine Bennett, who's the deputy head at Ysgol Bromogannwg, and Paul Keane, executive head of the Federation of Blenheim Road Community and Coed Eva Primary Schools in Torfaen. The Welsh Government's mantra is stay safe, stay learning. So is learning at home, distance learning, a real possibility? Catherine?
Well, that's a real question, isn't it? And it is a real possibility, but I think it needs to be treated really sensitively and with a massive dose of flexibility. It's so new to us all. I was reading somebody describe yesterday as what we've been through in the last few months is like building a plane whilst flying it. And that is how it feels. But I think with some understanding on both sides from teachers and parents, I think it can work for many of our pupils anyway.
So how is your school operating at the moment?
We're a hub school with three primaries, so staff are on a rota to go into to staff the hub school. But our second role, obviously, is that we're trying to continue to include as many pupils as we can in remote learning. Also, we've got our pastoral role, which is just as important, if not more important than ever before. We're using Microsoft Teams as our online platform. We decided just to focus on one to help parents, to help pupils. So we're putting all our work on there. We're giving feedback and our work on there. The pupils can contact their teachers. We've got form teachers contacting their pupils on there as well. So that's the route that we've gone down. More than perhaps, we've got the odd video lesson going on, but it tends to be that we're putting work on there. I then send a summary every fortnight of all the work and the closing dates.
And what's the feedback been like from that? Is it going down well with the kids and with the parents?
We've had a fair bit of feedback, and we're making tweaks all the time. And it's so tricky because everybody is in a totally different situation. There are various problems with technology. We've got parents who are working, parents who aren't working, children who can't find the motivation, some who love being given the structure that remote learning gives them. So with everyone in totally different situations, we do find that we have to tweak it on a weekly basis, really.
So, Paul, you're head of two schools. Tell me a little bit about that.
I am. So fairly recently in post in two schools. The Federation of Blenheim Road Community and Coed Eva Primary Schools in Cambrian took up my post in January, and it's been an interesting first few months in post. So it's about 800 children altogether, which is wonderful, really good community, families, and sort of working with them and a really large leadership team and staff.
Do you think that distance learning, that remote learning is feasible for the younger children?
I think it is. I think it is in a certain respect. But we've got to be really clear about what we mean by learning, and definitely, you know, that idea around teaching as well. It's a real struggle. So I've got three boys, all under 10, one's 6, one's 8, one's 9.5 now. And the amount of actual learning they do is quite hard to quantify, I think, in what they actually do. But I think the main thing is that we're trying to sort of provide some sort of activities, some ideas for them and to work with as a family and with them as children.
Even if they sit down there for 20 minutes and do some work, you think that's only 20 minutes, but it's 20 minutes where they're not sat next to their friends, they're not doing other things, they're having to focus. That 20 minutes is a long time when you're 7 years of age.
Yeah, definitely. And we've been at pains to stress that with our parents, you know, right from the start, is that the most important thing. These are worrying times. You know, different families are affected in different ways like this. We're all impacted in our own jobs with wider family, parents, other things like that we need to think about. But the key thing is just trying to spend some time with your kids as much as possible, whether that's reading them a story, just working with them, trying to get on their level, not putting too much pressure on yourself as a parent to be somehow performing your normal role as well as your working role, as well as your kind of get this new teaching role that people, you know, I feel has been sort of put onto them.
Well, I can play it good cop, bad cop, because my wife's a deputy head. I'm an ex-teacher. And then I tend to do the PE side of things. Right, so Kirsty Williams, who's the education minister, she's clear that parents are not expected to try to teach their children as such, but to support their learning as best as they can do. So what would you say to parents that are concerned that they're maybe not doing enough?
I was going to say, I think we need to be a little wary of some of the language that's used by the media as well, because as you say, you know, Kirsty Williams has said that parents are supporting, and that's exactly the word that I'd use. But I was reading in one of the newspapers this morning that was saying that, you know, you are parents, you're at home teaching your children. And I think parents are not, definitely not expected to teach their children. Just like you said, Paul and Mike, my two children are under 10, same age as yours, Mike. And from what I hear that they're like in school, they're very studious in school, and I'm very lucky, they're very well behaved at home. But whereas my daughter might act in the same way she does at home, in school, my son certainly doesn't. And he does not think that he should be working in school. He does not see me as somebody who should be doing his work with him. So I definitely wouldn't want parents to be taking that word teach as being what they should be doing. And I'd also hope that schools aren't asking children to do anything that is too new for them. You know, tasks should be similar to what they've done in the class, because trying to do anything risky or revolutionary now, I think, would alienate children and parents. So it should be things that they should be able to get along with, but just with a little bit of support from their parents.
Just to emphasize, it's a nightmare, you know, in many respects, in trying to sort of get that balance. I try to teach my kids in the afternoon. I say teach in inverted commas. I think I've mentioned previously, you know, give me a hall full of 450 kids over my own three boys, in terms of crowd control at any day. But I think what I try to do is just to try and find a common theme, and to try to put that together as much as possible. So if it's a lesson on history we're trying to do, try and find something that would appeal to all the children across the board, rather than trying to sort of reinvent the wheel and just, you know, develop your own schemes of work.
I think you're right. From what I read in the press, it's not helpful when they use phrases like that, because for two reasons. Well, one is the parents feel they're maybe not doing enough. But secondly is that you're sort of almost devaluing the teaching profession by thinking that someone who's done, you know, a 3 or 4 year education or a degree or an education degree, and then a year of PGC, then done their NQT, and then been teacher for 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever years, you know, somebody with no background whatsoever can sit down with 2, 3, 4 kids. We're lucky we have resources in the house. What is another way that parents can sort of almost let kids get on with some sort of education in their own time, in their own way?
The first port of call, I think, is to try and follow what schools are giving. Trust the school that they know where those children should be. If that's not working for whatever reason, it might be a lack of technology, it might be that the child just finds it difficult to engage in that, then there's an almost overwhelming array of resources and things available. My children are, as we speak, looking at BBC Bite Size. There are very lots of CBBC, and this is for younger children rather than the ones I teach, but some of the CBBC presenters are doing really good educational half an hour online. And then what's good about it is it then sends the children out to do something. And they're all pretty practical things, because mine have managed to do it with no extra resources. So all of those things are really, really valuable. And it's interesting that you mentioned that your children are from... go to Welsh medium primary schools. I'm from a 3-19 Welsh medium school. And obviously it's a concern for parents that their children are now all of a sudden not getting half as much Welsh, or, you know, fraction of the Welsh immersion that they were getting. But my advice there is that, you know, embrace all those things like Q and all those things that you can find online. If you can get them talking to their friends on, you know, whatever platform you want through Welsh, then that's great. Just anything they can be doing, but not to feel a huge pressure about it either.
For me, my son is online with his friends a lot. They spend, you know, probably an hour a day, maybe an hour and a half a day talking to us, which I think is important that he's having those conversations with his mates. And my little girl does the same thing with her friends over Zoom. But the way that we do that in our house is we just say, you can spend time online with your friends, and that's great, but they're all from Welsh school as well. So your online time is Welsh language time. So when they're online with their friends, whether they're playing a game or whether they're Zooming each other, that's all done through the Welsh language.
Good idea. Yeah. We try and give some. We do weekly challenges on Twitter, and that's and we post some things that might help them with the Welsh language. There are some exercise groups and things online that they could do, exercise videos. So any little thing like that helps. And as you say, just talking to their friends, I think there's nothing better than that.
There was a survey that's been carried out. So nearly 6,000 responses from parents raising various issues. We've addressed a couple of the big ones there, which is basically parents being concerned that they're not teachers. I'll just go through another couple of questions that came out through the survey. There's one here says, as both parents being key workers, we are struggling to work every day and school our teenager at home. As parents, we feel like failures. Is it expected that all homework should be completed?
I think, again, we've got a language thing here to deal with. It's to see it as homework, I think, maybe can make it more problematic. A very good friend of mine and a colleague has a child in year nine, and he came home and said, "Oh, Mum, I'd never have this much homework. Why have I got so much now?" And this isn't homework. This is work that the school is trying to provide, to try and replicate as much as we can. Having said that, though, I really hope that we're all extremely aware of differing circumstances and, of course, our pupils' well-being. So whilst we're providing enough work for pupils, key stage three pupils, for example, to work for about 2 to 3 hours a day in our school, that should be manageable. But if the occasional deadline is missed, and it will be, then I really hope that some leniency would be shown. And the key thing is that the lines of communication with schools are still open. And pupils should know exactly how to tell their teacher, do you know what, I'm having a bad day, or my mum's ill, whatever it is, I haven't got my IT equipment, it's not working, so I'm not going to get this in. And I really hope then that what they'll receive is a lot of understanding.
There's a question here from the survey that says, I would like to know if the work set is compulsory or will the children cover it again in school? When they go back, will they have a chance to pick up on school work that was set during lockdown?
Yes, sorry, I referred to key stage three. So that would be pupils in years 7 to 9. So that sort of leniency that I was talking about is particularly relevant to them. It's obviously slightly different with children in secondary school, and years 10 and 12 particularly, we've been told by the government that they need to be continuing in their courses. So we do need to try and work as well as we can together. But of course, through all of this, then we are understanding that things aren't as they were, but we just do our best together.
Obviously, the schools will be closed for as long as they need to be closed for us all to be safe. But when school starts back, there's a question here asking if the work that's been set at the moment during lockdown is compulsory, and will that work be covered again when lockdown is over?
Yeah, that's a trickier question for secondaries. Obviously, secondary school work is different, and the children are older, and they're working towards something. And we have been told by Welsh Government that year 10 and 12 continue with their courses. So that's what we're doing. We are continuing with our courses. So we do want children, wherever possible, to be completing our tasks. But as I hope that we're making clear, there's a huge amount of flexibility here, because we do understand that it's not always possible. I've also asked teachers to bear in mind, so say that they're now setting some more some options for year 9 to be completing, which mean that they are actually almost following their GCSE options now at the end of year 9. I've also told teachers to be aware that there could be some children who are not able to engage in that work. So be aware that when they start back then, maybe whenever it will be, then there could be a little bit of a difference between children then. But I think we need to also place our trust in teachers who are trained for this. And we know we always take children in who are in different situations, different abilities, all sorts of things going on. So whatever we need to do, when we need to do it, we will be able to address whatever differences there are.
Speaking of differences then, this question got raised. I don't want my child to be left behind. How do I know they're on the right track and not falling behind their peers? So how will the parents be able to keep track of that progress?
Okay, well, one question I suppose for parents is, are those children following the school's programme of study? If they are, then I suppose if you should place your trust in the school that they're aware of pupils' engagement. And if there are significant problems, then hopefully they would have contacted the parents. I'd also suggest that if parents have the time, that they sit down with their child, they ask the child to take them through whatever platform they're using to show you the tasks they've completed. They may, according to the school and age of the child, have also received some feedback on some work they've done. So that should enable the parents to get an idea of where pupils are. And of course, if they're concerned, then just to contact the school as they usually would.
Well, that brings me, you mentioned it there, and the technology side of things. I mean, obviously there are going to be families, there are going to be households where they don't have internet connection, they maybe don't have a laptop, don't have a computer. So what about those households where they don't have the correct devices, or they don't have sufficient technology, or they've got no internet connection? What are schools doing to help those households?
Yeah, I mean, we've been at real pains to stress this because we're very, very aware of sort of those digitally vulnerable families that we've got out there, and multi-child families. You may only have one device or two devices in a household for three or four kids. So we've, from our federation's approach, has tried to put at least half of our six weekly activities non-technology based. And they may be things around, you know, nature, going outside, stories and reading a book, just trying to work on things, you know, those kind of oral skills that you can work on that don't require computers and technology to build into things.
Catherine?
We as a school have we've given out most of our IT equipment by now. We've lent it to families who need it. We're also being very realistic and saying, look, if you haven't got access to a computer, or your sister's using the one computer that you've got, or your mum's working from home, whatever it is, then do your work on paper. Do what you can. Then when you can, take a photo of it, email it to us. It doesn't all have to be submitted online. I know that the Welsh Government is looking at trying to enable more children to have access to technology. And that is crucial, because when I phone parents to check on how the children are doing, because maybe I've noticed that they're not accessing a lot of our resources, that is often the answer that I get. We simply can't. We don't have the resources to do it. So the more that can be done to help them, the better.
I believe there's a £3 million grant that the Welsh Government have made available for local authorities and for schools to help families who, you know, do need assistance with the technology side of things. And also that there's Welsh language resources for non-Welsh speaking parents too. Well, talking about Hub, because we use it at home with our kids, some parents are asking how would they go about that? Who do they ask about Hub?
Yeah, we found Hub to be absolutely wonderful as a resource. And there are so many links on there, so many different types of media that can be used via that. They've been really useful for my own boys, and also know lots of the learners across our federation in having that access to sort of, you know, approved central Welsh Government resources. Speaking to the class teacher first and foremost is the main thing. I'd imagine every school is, you know, at real pains to stress that their teachers are in contact with the families. So I think, you know, if you can't work it out as a parent, don't stress it, don't sweat it. I know there are kind of, you know, help email addresses on there and useful guides and tips on it. But, you know, take it back to the class teacher and ask them, look, how do I access this? How would you recommend I do this? Because they've probably got a bit more time, and it may also not be affecting you as a parent. It might be affecting quite a few of the parents too. So they're probably in a really good position to be able to help out with that.
Obviously, my wife's a teacher. So for us, it's a lot easier than for some parents. But there's a question here asking, how would parents stay aware of the work that children are being set?
I think that depends on each school's practices. I mean, I would hope that had been communicated clearly from the start, and that the school remains in communication regularly. So in our school, all our tasks are set and submitted by Microsoft Teams. But as I said, I also send out a bilingual, and that's key, a bilingual Word document every fortnight, summarising those tasks with closing dates. Just to enable that, because I know parents have struggled, and that some of the feedback we've had is that there seem to be a lot of tasks when children are studying 13, 14 subjects, then it can be pretty overwhelming. So I think we need to make it as simple as possible for parents and pupils to know where to go.
And it's quite an intense way of trying to keep up, I think, you know, when you're doing things online. So would you say there was like a, you know, is there a limit to how long children should be online? Obviously, it's going to change with age, but was it like a daily maximum of online time for the kids?
Well, yeah, this is difficult, because despite intending to have a variety of tasks, I think most of us and most schools are finding that a lot of the tasks are online. And I mentioned BBC Bite Size before, and other schools have put their resources online as well. Everything is online. I did a little bit of research as we were creating this this policy, if you like, at the very beginning. And what we decided was that to follow the guidance that Key Stage 3 children, so years 7 to 9, can do about 2 to 3 hours of concentrating a day, which is why we didn't go down the route of sticking to their usual timetable, as some schools have done. We know we're all doing things completely differently. So we give children their tasks for the fortnight, and then they choose when to do them, and we aim for that 2 to 3 hours a day. Of course, what we're all finding, teachers as well, is that we are spending far more than that, just going back and forth to things online. So trying to limit that time, I think, is the holy grail, really, for all of us, not just for our children, so that we are doing those other things that we're recommending that they do, going outside, exercising, whatever it is, because the temptation is just to be on it the whole time.
I've got a question here about teenagers. If you've got teenage kids, then what about some strategies to try to make sure that, obviously, that they can't go and hang out with their mates, or they shouldn't be hanging out with their mates on the streets and stuff, but I'm just trying to think of myself as a teenager. If I had the internet as a teenager and I was not going to school, then I'd be getting extremely distracted. So what is a strategy that parents could use maybe to keep teenage children engaged with their education at this time?
Yeah, I think it's difficult for all of us, isn't it, in this changing world that we're trying to work in, to keep ourselves motivated. So what I do with myself is I sometimes have to give myself sort of strict time limit. So I'm going to do this in this much time, and then I'm going to go outside and do that. And I think with the teenagers, getting them outside, getting them to spend time with the family, and I say this having not had to parent teenagers yet, but keeping in contact with their friends is vital. But also keeping them in contact with staff as well, looking at what's going on, and trying to do whatever they can to keep up with the work, so it'll be better for them in the long run. But doing all those extra things that we're encouraging all children to do is just as important, if not more important, for teenagers. And of course, for adults, and I'm trying to write something about at the moment about the well-being of our staff, it's also key for them to be working in the same way. And as I said, if in our house, if we're desperate, we offer snacks.
What's been nice for me is putting my ex-PE teacher hat back on, is every day, nearly every day, and we've been very lucky with the weather so far, is we've gone out on the bikes every day, or we've gone out for a long walk, or we've done stuff as a family, and it's been really enjoyable to do that stuff that we wouldn't normally get the chance to do.
Yeah, that's right. Eating together, all these things that we never do, we are fortunate enough now to be getting the chance to do. And yeah, definitely exercise almost every day.
Here's a question. This is what I've been thinking about, actually. For year six kids now that are starting high school in September, and they've sort of missed a lot of this transition period, what would a child in year six be expected to know in September?
I think the biggest steer on this needs to come from the schools working together. So the primary and the secondary to work on all that kind of transition stuff they would be doing anyway throughout the summer term, making sure they've got a really, really good link up. So it's a really legitimate question for parents to ask, is to go back to the year six teachers or school and say, look, you know, what is happening in terms of transition? How do we get in touch with the new form tutors and new teachers? And I think, you know, kind of ask the question of the school, because I think, you know, there will be plans in place behind the scenes. Schools are actively engaging with each other onto this, and the high schools want to make sure they get the kids coming in as, you know, as ready as possible for learning, if that's when we're back in, kind of thing. So I'd, you know, just ask that question legitimately. Don't try and, again, put too much pressure on yourself and think you're missing things out. I think it's important just to liaise really closely with your schools.
Yeah, I know that lots of parents are worried if their children are in year six, and I understand the worry if it's about that they're going to be missing that really important last term of school to them socially. Even though some schools might enable them to have their proms or parties or whatever they have later on, it is really sad that they can't have that last time in school, like it is for year 11 and year 13. But I think academically, I wouldn't want parents to worry about that. By the time they get to this point in year six, I'd hope that we can have faith in their teachers and in their primary schools that they're in a really good place. And actually, by this time in year six, they're raring to go. So they should have been well prepared, and also have faith in their year seven teachers that when they get back in September, they'll know what to do.
Well, my thanks to Paul Keane and Catherine Bennett. To stay in touch with what's happening in Welsh education, subscribe on your favourite podcast app and get every new episode of this series for free, downloaded to your phone when it's published. Addysg Cymru, Education Wales, is presented by me, Mike Bubbins, and is a Welsh Government production. Stay safe, stay learning.